It's intercepted. Picked up by Alex Molden.
Welcome to the Scholarship Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Molden. I'm a former NFL player of 8 years, author, speaker, and personal development coach. Whether you're seeking training, nutrition, mindset, leadership, or recruiting tips, you've come to the right place. Our goal is to help you navigate the recruiting process and stay proactive. Let's get you going. Hello, I'm your host, Alex Molden. Welcome to the Scholarship Athlete Podcast once again. And today, what I want to do, I'm going to give you some nuggets on some of the things I wish I would have done when I was training, when I was getting ready to become, you know, this athlete. And because remember, I didn't start playing football until my eighth grade year. And so I was behind the eight ball in terms of like athletic development. I was 135 pounds as a freshman, right? My football IQ wasn't that high. So there's a lot of things I just didn't know about this whole recruiting process. And this was, you know, this is in the late 80s. And even now, to the day, having kids who've gone through this process, who's going through it right now, and some of the things that I've learned over the years that, you know, my kids have access to. And so I just figured, like, you know, this is some things that I wish I would have done earlier. I wish that I would have started to do, because it would have helped me out so much in so many different ways. And so I wanted to just, you know, come here today and give you some of my thoughts on, you know, these things that can help you in this whole recruiting process, but also athletic development. All right, so here we go. So the first thing is, I wish I would have understood the importance of foam rolling. Foam rolling. Some people call it like the poor man's deep tissue massage. You don't need a whole bunch. A foam roller, you can get that at Target. You can get that anywhere. You can also get a tennis ball or a softball and use that as a foam roller. It's something that you can be able to travel with, but it helps so much starting, you know, with rolling out your bottom of your feet, you know, your hamstrings, your glutes, your quads, your upper back. You don't want to roll your lower back, because your lower back is not meant for mobility. It's meant for stability. So I would stay away from that. But upper back, your lats, you can roll any and everything. And you just have to understand that at the next level, at the collegiate level, athletes do this all the time. They do this. That's one of the first things they do when they come into the gym. It's not like a want to. It's like, no, it's a have to. So I always ask, well, my athletes, do they want to play college ball? You know, whatever sport, basketball, lacrosse, football, baseball. Ain't it? Well, why don't you start acting like you're already there? And it starts with nutrition, with what you do in the weight room, not just what you do with skill development, you know, getting better as an athlete on the field of play. But in everything that you do, you start acting like it. And foam rolling is one of those deals that they do. And you can do that at night. It's really, you know, meant for right before a training program. You can be doing it during a training program, okay? But foam rolling, something I wish I would have started doing early on in my career, because before, those foam rollers, they just lived in the, you know, when you get hurt. Now they want to start doing that. Well, times have changed, and it's a prerequisite of what they do before working out. Another thing I would have started doing more is drinking water. Drinking more water. It does so much. And once I understood, like, it was explained to me, because I wasn't a big water drinker. I mean, I drank when I was thirsty. But when you consume water, it's like a filter for your car, right? And you don't want to be driving around with a dirty filter. So when you drink water, it helps flush everything out of your system. It hydrates your muscles. It stops or decreases the chance of you getting a headache when you're working out and it's hot and whatnot. So make sure you're drinking water. And in general rules, you should be drinking half your body weight in ounces. So if I weigh 200 pounds, I, at the very least, I should be drinking 100 ounces of water per day. And the best way to do it is, man, as soon as you wake up, you start drinking water, just a glass of water. Okay. And it's not just gulp it all down, because your body can't absorb it like that. You'll be peeing all day. But it's like, I was told to like drink just the amount that you, like when you go to the dentist, right? And then you know, they brush your teeth and then they give you a little deal of a little cup of the mint wash that you know, you gargle. Yeah, something like that. You drink like that every about 7 to 8 minutes. It's not big gulps, but just take a little drink out of a little paper cup. You know, not paper cup, but you know what I'm talking about. Take that amount every 7 to 8 minutes. And your body is more likely to absorb it instead of you just peeing it all out all day. Okay. So, third thing, sleep. Better sleep. That's when your body heals and it recovers. And you have to be consistent with when you go to sleep. It can't be you're going to sleep at 10 o'clock during the weekdays and on the weekends you go to sleep at 1. Like, you really need to be consistent with your sleep. Going to bed at the same time, no matter what day it is. Also, like when the room is dark, right? So if you got to get your, you know, if you got to put something on the windows, or if you have the blinds that really cover things up, or if you sleep, you can sleep with a little, you know, the mask. I do that. I sleep with the mask. My wife makes fun of me. I'm cool with it though. But yeah, sleeping when it's dark, okay? Make sure you're not on your phone, of course. We all know that. Don't stay off your phone 30 minutes prior to going to sleep, okay? So just improving your sleep. Athletes, especially teenage athletes, should be getting at least 9 hours of sleep, okay? 9 hours of sleep. That's a lot. I would love to get 9 hours of sleep. Okay. Next thing, the fourth thing is film study. I wish I would have studied more film of my opponent and myself, not just trying to put together a cool highlight film. That's not film study, but watching my opponent, getting some tools on, like, man, watching film. Because the more you know your opponent, and the more you know yourself, right, the greater chance you are to making big plays. Because now you know who they are, you know what they like, and you can set you and your team up for success when you know them, when you know your team that you're facing, and you know you, your strengths and weaknesses. But studying film, get a lay of the land of who your opponent is. More importantly, who you are. The fifth thing, I wish I would have done perception training. Like, I wish I would have worked on my depth perception. And you can do that. It's simple. It's very simple. You don't need any fancy goggles, any of that type of stuff. Depth perception training is simply you going out with a partner with a tennis ball and you playing catch, but you do it with closing one eye, and then you alternate. You start at about 10 yards. You can start it and then progress to 15 to 20 yards. Just back and forth. Make sure you're switching eyes. You can turn. So now, if I turn to the person who's throwing the ball and I close either my far eye that's away from him or my near eye, and I work on catching the ball, seeing the ball and then catching it. I mean, doing it both sides, there's different ways. Then you can start to run and do it. But I wish I would have did this early on, because I had a big problem with depth perception, not just in high school, but also in college. I didn't start doing these things until I was in the pros. And it made the ball seem huge. So depth perception training, it takes you maybe 10, 15 minutes tops. You can do it before or after a training session, doing it with a tennis ball, and then you do it with a football. I'm telling you what, that football, after doing depth perception training with a tennis ball, the football is going to look like a damn watermelon. It's going to look huge. So do it. Okay, if you do a sport where you have to catch a ball, it can be a round ball or oval ball or whatever, do it, okay? And then here's the last thing, is I wish I would have visited more colleges, especially like in my area. I wish I would have visited more colleges. I wish I would have went to these little camps, right? It's a one day, or maybe not even a day, like a 2-hour, 3-hour camp. They're not very expensive. You know, they're under $200. But I wish I would have did that more, because it gives you a chance to be in front of these coaches, and you get to show them who you are, not just talk to them, but also show them in terms of your work ethic, your athleticism, your size. I wish I would have did that. But there's some things that I think you can benefit from, right? You can always benefit from other people going down the road that you are going through. They're just farther ahead. Well, that's what this episode, that's what the Scholarship Academy is all about, is helping you have success during this recruiting process. And you don't need to hire someone and spend thousands of dollars to doing it. The Scholarship Athlete Academy, it gives you all the knowledge that you need, from setting up your social media, from training, from film study, speed development, you know, everything that you need to help you showcase your talents and set yourself apart so you can get a portion, if not all, of college paid for. That's what the Scholarship Academy is all about. Okay. You guys, thank you once again. Leave a comment. We love 4-star reviews. If, you know, when you do that, it helps us out. And then in terms of helps you out, because the more 4-star reviews, or 5-star reviews, right, the more that people see the impact. Now we can get some guests on here that can create more impact for you, right? We can start to get some bigger guests that have been down the road, and they can give you game, whether it's coaches or recruiting coordinators. It's like when they see the impact that we're giving, they're more apt to come on the show. So I appreciate that. All right, I'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Scholarship Athlete Podcast. If you got value out of this episode or these episodes, I want you to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I want you to follow us. Follow the show. Okay, follow the show. That's number one. Number two, leave a review. Okay, 5 stars are dope. I'll take 4. Okay, but 5 stars are dope. And what that does is it gets more impactful guests to be on the show, to be able to give you guys information, okay? And then the third thing I would love for you to be able to do is share this show. Share this show to individuals who are going through the recruiting process or just starting and might be stuck, okay? These interviews, whether it's solo episodes or when I have guests on there, they're very powerful because they can change the trajectory of a child's scholarship journey. Okay? So if you do those 3 things, I would greatly be appreciated. Okay, I'll see you guys next week.